Listen, we love you, and I'm so glad that you're here. I love you. And listen, I know you could be anywhere you wanted to be right now. Thank you for taking the time to tune in. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. It's already blessed me. I'm so excited to get this to you because I know it's going to help. I don't like seeing people, man, frustrated. I don't like seeing people pushed around. I don't like being pushed around, let alone seeing other people pushed around. That's, you know what? No one is more anti-bully than someone who's been bullied. You know what I mean by that? So, glory to God. I'm excited to give you something tonight. All right, so last week, let's pick it up real quick. John chapter 8, when Jesus had lifted up himself. Remember the woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery. And you know there had to be two of them, but they only got the woman. So that's another story for another time. But they got her. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And I want you to notice this. Jesus handled all of her accusers. We know this. We touched on it briefly last week, and we'll bring it up again this week if we get to it in time. If not, well, we can come back the following week. But Revelation, from the book of Revelation that we shared, Scripture, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Overcame who? The accuser of the brethren. The person who stands and accuses you of all that you've done wrong, your mistakes, things that you've missed it in, anything. Anything that darkness and the devil can stand and accuse you over, try to cancel you, try to throw accusations at you, he'll try. Notice Jesus handled all of her accusers. And he's standing there, just him and her. That's the same way he is with you. We know from the book of the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same way he is here with her is the same way he is with you now. What do you mean? I mean, he handles your accusers. I mean that he brings quiet to your life. And when he says, "Is any man condemning you?" And he said, "No, they're all gone. You've handled all my accusers." And he says this, and this was God's word to us. This was his message to us last week. "Neither do I condemn you." Neither do I condemn you. God's not condemning you. Any mistake, any lapse in judgment, anything you willfully did wrong, like, you know, "I know this is wrong, but I just, and you gave in and you did it anyway." Listen, when we start talking about things that we can get condemned over, mistakes and sin, it's easy to go to like just two or three areas. You know, addiction, sexual sin, and inappropriate activities. But it could be a lot of different things. Notice how judgmental that is. We put things, certain things up on a pedestal, like, "Oh, that's real sin." You know, but then we gloss over and hide, and how about this? Make excuses for carrying grudges, rehearsing arguments, rehearsing reasons why we're mad at somebody. Come on. You know I'm not the only one who's done that. You know I'm not the only one who's gone back and thought about reasons why they don't like somebody. Oh, Brother Duke. Brother Duke me. You know you've done it too. I live in a human body just like the rest of us. But pressure to do something we know is wrong. And notice who brings that pressure. The devil does. Satan does. Darkness does. All of his resources and assets are trying to pressure you to do something that violates your conscience, that breaks the covenant, that goes against blood covenant best friendship with God. He said, "I'll handle your enemies for you." He said, "I'll take vengeance on your behalf." We don't have to get our hands clean with any of that. We can hand him our problem and go on and enjoy our life with him. Amen. All right. So, there's a second part to what he said, though, to this woman in the 8th chapter of John. This is in John 8, 10, and 11. Chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. He said, "Neither do I condemn you." And that was his message to us last week, or last session we had. This week, it's the other part of that sentence. He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, before you cringe and go, "Oh, no, I can't do that," both statements were truth. Both statements are the truth, which means it's a reality that can never be broken. That's exciting. He didn't tell that to her to lay some impossible burden on her life, and she's got to struggle the rest of her life, like she's like, I can't go and sin no more. He's giving her an empowerment to make a decision. He is restoring to this woman her lost or her forgotten, how about this? That's better. Her forgotten power of choice. Make a note of this in your notes. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God, through Moses, speaks to the people of Israel who were a type of us. Nomads, wandering the earth with God as their source, through harsh and weird places. Sounds kind of like now. Actually, it sounds a lot like now because it was. And he said, behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Does that mean some people are just destined for life and for blessing? And, you know, and some people are just destined no matter, you know, what they do. They're just destined for death and cursing? No, because the next thing that the Lord speaks is this. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your children, your offspring, your seed may live. And then he goes on in verse 20 and talks about love the Lord your God and seek it. The reason was is because God's already decided to love you. God's already decided to be on your side. God's already decided to be loyal to you. So he says, if you make this choice, you give me access to do things for you. If you make this choice, you give me access to be a God to you and to be a best friend to you. You see what we're saying? Isn't that exciting? He was giving her back her forgotten and lost power of choice. The power to make a decision. Man, I want to shout so bad. The power to decide her own destiny. And he's giving the same thing back to you and I. This is God's message to you. Freedom from sin. Go and sin no more. Freedom from sin. Listen, we saw last week that we are free from condemnation. We saw last week that there is therefore now no condemnation. And you know what? Remember what we talked about. How do we have that go to work in our life? We decide we believe it. We've been made God's very best friends. We've been made the righteousness of God. Jesus was made sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. God put sin on Jesus so he could put righteousness on us. He gave, if you remember, Jesus is in the garden. He's perfect. He's spotless, never sinned. We know from that 21st verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look it up. In your Takata Bible app or in your hard copy Bible, it says he was made to be sin who knew no sin. He had never, sin being, he had never broken the covenant with God. He never violated any kind of, he never committed any kind of disloyalty to God, his best friend in blood covenant. Glory to God. But hear this. He did that as a man. He was sinless and spotless so he could be a sacrifice. But he was, according to the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 15, he was in, now write that down, Hebrews 4, 15. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now let that sink in. Jesus didn't get a special dispensation. If you remember in the book of Luke in chapter 4, Satan goes after him tooth and toenail. He goes after him with the big guns. He waits till he's done with a 40-day fast and just kind of sidles up next to him and says, you know, if you're the Son of God, you can go ahead and make these stones turn to bread. And you know the thought in his physical body of a fresh, hot loaf of bread just by commanding it. Listen, I dare say you and I have never fasted so long that your body begins to turn inward and eat itself. which is what after 40 days your body begins to do. But he did. And that's when Satan shows up to tempt him with food. It says it was temptation. The Bible wouldn't lie. It wouldn't have been a temptation if it wasn't a temptation. Well, he does two other things too. And each time Jesus just knocked him on his rear end, knocked the devil on him, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he had a decision in his heart already of what he believed. He said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, that it is written, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He last one, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." What is he saying? Get out of my face. Three times the devil showed up. Three times Jesus showed up. Let me start over. Three times the devil showed up, and three times Jesus resisted him. What do you mean resist? He put up a resistance. Not a resistance in our mind we've seen through fiction and through, you know, somewhat nonfiction but still fiction, you know, war movies or shows or things like that. Resistance meaning it's a lost cause, but they're just putting up a valiant effort. No, resistance means the devil made a play and Jesus said no. He pushed back. That's what resistance is, to push back against. Now, it wasn't physical, it wasn't mental, but he made a decision. No, get out of my face. Absolutely not. I like that. I like that a lot. He did it as a man. Well, he's now our best friend. He abides within us by his Spirit. We're cut into him and he into us in full blood covenant. Hallelujah. That means he said this, "If you abide in me and I abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done to you." John 15, he said, if you remain in me in blood covenant, if you sit down and stick with me, I've already decided to stick with you. He said, you'll bear much fruit. There'll be lots of results that'll come from that. But he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the 15th chapter of John. I'm just quoting it. We're not looking at it right this moment. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, we're not apart from him. We're with him. Which means he resisted the devil as a man. And he resisted temptation. And he resisted sinning. He resisted breaking the covenant. What was the temptation? To take a shortcut. To go miss all this other stuff he was going to have to do and just kind of skip to the end. To cheat and break the covenant. God had already promised him what had happened. God had already promised him what would happen. Amen. So what did he do? Man, three times that devil threw a curveball at him and three times Jesus just crushed that out of the park. Praise God. I like the last one he said. Let me look it up for you. Just listen to this man. This is our best friend, but he's also, man, he is also our hero. He was tempted. He said, and this is the Satan saying it. He said, if you just, you know, bow down yourself to me, worship me, I'll give you every single kingdom now and forever. Just worship me. Just bend the knee to me, and you can have it all. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of my face. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. And then later on, he is taken in a physical experience. He is whisked to the top of the temple, the highest point in the land at the time, man-made. And he whispers to Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, just go ahead and throw yourself down. Let the angels carry you down. You'd fly down. Wouldn't that be amazing? And he used scripture. He said, because, you know, the angels are going to keep you, just like the Psalms 91 says. Verse 12, Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, what did we read last week from Psalms 23? That the Lord is our best friend and our shepherd. So here that was just written, or what was just read and written here, with that mindset. Thou shalt not tempt your best friend, who is your source in blood covenant. Man, I'm sticking with God. How about you? Amen. Well, when we choose life, we're choosing life in blood covenant with our best friend, God, our Father, and our Lord and best friend, Jesus Christ. That decision is a quality decision. Oh, yeah, I choose life. No, that's just a mental box check. I'm talking about a quality decision in the heart. I'm choosing God. See, here's the thing. We've seen that we are free from condemnation. And by deciding that we believe, Romans 8th chapter in the first verse, that there is therefore now no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thus we're in blood covenant with Him. There's no condemnation. And when we decide we believe that, the power goes to work. And that condemnation is dealt with. Hallelujah. God didn't tell you to take an axe and go swing it left and right to get rid of condemnation on your own. No, no, no. He already handled that. Neither do I condemn thee. You just decide you believe it. He'll handle the feelings. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Well, here's what we wanted to get to this week. We've seen, as we talked about last week in last session, in depth, we have seen that we're free from condemnation, but the stuff, the tools that are being used to condemn us are still lurking in the shadows. The techniques, the tactics, the procedures, the means that Satan is still using to attempt to bring condemnation into our life is still lurking in the dark. It's still creeping around dark corners. Now, what's the real point for condemnation? It robs you of your confidence to enjoy your best friendship with God. Let me read this to you. Make a note of it again. This is 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 says this. It's toward the end of the verse. Toward the end of the verse. End of the chapter. This is, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Listen, we have confidence towards God. You're confident. What do you mean you're confident? You know where you stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8 talks about how faith and confidence and knowing go hand in hand. They're just like three peas in a pod. Three fingers on the same hand. It says we are always confident knowing. Listen, he says if you have a heart that doesn't condemn you, you have confidence towards God. You know where you stand with Him and He with you. And then he says this in verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Can you see that? Whatever you ask. Can you see why Satan and all of darkness would try to thwart you enjoying your best friendship with God? Because if you get what you ask for, you can ask for anything. You can ask for... Now, we're not trying to talk about time right now. Some things, large things, as God works it out, involving the human will of other people, sure, it may take some time. But don't overlook this point. You get what you ask for. And that drives Satan around the bend. He is scared out of his mind that you'll begin to enjoy your best friendship with God and begin to ask for things on earth that God, your heavenly Father in heaven, performs on your behalf, and people take notice that your best friend is real and does stuff for you. So what's his tool to get something in your life to condemn you over so that you don't have any confidence anymore? Well, that's what we're talking about this week. the go and sin no more part. Jesus wouldn't have said it if we couldn't do it. Now, let's hear it like this. Jesus, a man, never sinned. But Jesus, the man, was tempted beyond what we could possibly imagine. Beyond what we could possibly imagine. You need to hear this, that he was tempted in the garden to the point where, you remember the garden where he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. It says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was under so much physical stress, resisting temptation. Was it temptation? Was it to back out of this? Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 said, he was made sin who knew no sin. He was made a broken covenant who knew no sin. God's going to have to give that to him so he could give him broken covenant, so he'd give us righteousness. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve this. Just like we don't deserve righteousness. But he received it so we could receive righteousness. You see the trade-off here? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want you to see this as we go forward. Go and sin no more. With his help, we can have a complete victory over sin. With his help, we can have a complete triumph over everything trying to bother us and tempt us. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Let's go over there. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, God. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at the verse 27. Says this, very short, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Let me read this to you from a couple other translations. God's Word translation says it like this, don't give the devil any opportunity to work. Don't give the devil any opportunity to work. The New Century Translation, how about this? Don't give him an opportunity. He's looking for an area to exploit. Don't give him an opening. The New Century Version says this, do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Well, I wouldn't plan to give it to him. That's how temptation works. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So here's the key, our key scripture tonight we're going to camp on and look at and just, you know, break out some folding chairs and stay a while. Before we move on to it, notice, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Well, who in the right mind would do that? He applies pressure to our minds, to our emotions. He uses cravings in our physical bodies. Do you know you can crave Twinkies just as bad as someone would crave, or chocolate, or cookie, you know, treats, as bad. Your mouth will sweat. You'll break out into a little bead of sweat on your forehead. Just as bad as someone can crave a narcotic. Someone can crave pornography, just like someone else can crave to spend money. Hallelujah. Why are you saying hallelujah to that? Because I know that Jesus can help you. Hallelujah. All right. Hang on, I got to do something here. Thank you, Lord. All righty. Look at this in 1 Corinthians. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's very King James. He said, anybody thinking that's thinking, "I got this, I'm good," he said, "Let him take heed lest he fall." Don't get so caught up in hubris that you're good and you've got it licked. Okay? He said this in verse 13, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." There is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Look at this. That means every temptation on this earth, there is nobody who's got the special Job-like temptation of, because if somebody else has had it, or if you've had it, somebody else has had it. If you've been tempted, somebody else has been tempted. If you've had something try to bother you, someone else has too. Hallelujah. It says, "There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able." Now, religion will try to twist this. It'll try to twist it and make it say, and it has worked far too often. Religion will try to make this say that God won't put anything more on you than you can stand. And that's not what this says. And I want you to hear that again. People will think and even quote this scripture as though God won't put any more on you than you can stand. That's not what it says. Look what he says. "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Whatever you're facing, man, everybody else has had to deal with it and more. It's common. And I want to give you the punchline so bad, but you got to hear this one thing first. It says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer," not permit, not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. Able to what? Able to do what Jesus did and resist him. James chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 5, both chapters use this phrase almost identically. Resist the devil. Push back. He wants to bully you and push you and apply pressure to you. In fact, Paul even uses that word that when in the Greek translation, it means pressure. He said, "I would that you know about our tribulation that came unto us, brethren." And when he said tribulation, it's the direct translation is pressure that came on us. It says that we were so pressed out above measure, we thought we would die. He said we were under so much pressure, we thought we were going to lose our lives just from the pressure. This is how Satan works. He wants to apply pressure to your mind. He wants to apply pressure to your physical body. He wants to apply pressure to your feelings. He wants to apply pressure to your physical appetites and cravings. Listen, when we decided to go all in with God, I think we touched on this in our last session. When we decided to go all in with God and be all in all the time and accept his best friendship, man, glory to God, and we became believers, our inner man was changed. And the Bible very definitely talks the difference between our outward man and our inward man. Our inward man was changed, but our outward man stayed the same. Our outward man has the same crave. Listen, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, "Well, I thought I was a Christian. Why do I still want to smoke? Or why do I still want to do this? Or I still want..." Hey, your body's still the same body. Same house. The occupant's been changed, but the house is still the same. The inside got remodeled. Not just remodeled, gutted and renovated and completely different and transformed. Praise God. But the outward body still wants to do the same thing, say the same words, react the same. Not just act, but react the same way. Act the same way and react the same way. Why? Same body. You're different. Your physical desires are still the same. I know that may not bless you, but at least, hey, at least we can locate it. You know, at least we can get that out on paper. You know what I mean by that statement? You know, at least we can get that identified and go, "Okay, got it." Okay, so there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. You're still the same. You're a completely new creation inside. Same person used to be on the outside. The goal is to let the person on the inside begin to rein in and control the person on the outside. That's the whole, one of the whole goals of the Christian experience. This new blood covenant best friend self with God, blood covenant best friends with God self that we are on the inside, doesn't let our bodies push us around and make us do whatever it wants to do anymore. But no, we rein it in and control it. So we can enjoy our lives with God. Amen. And do what he has purposed for you and I as individuals and as a team to do in the earth for him before we leave this deployment. Amen. All right. So let me go over those real quick again. I just want to go back to Ephesians 4 and go over it real quick again. Don't have to go there. Let me just read it to you. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil, this is God's word translation, any opportunity to work. New century, do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Well, look what he says here again, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye be able to bear it. Now, God is faithful. That means his loyalty to you is decided permanently and eternally. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Another accurate translation of what it means that God is faithful is Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. And it said, you ready for this? He said, I will not fail you nor forsake you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Oh, come on, man. That's so good. He won't let you down. So he's saying here, he will not permit you to be pressured or tempted above what you're able to resist. Let that sink in for a moment. Why is that so exciting? Because if you're facing it, challenged by it, experiencing pressure from it, it doesn't have to be something, you know, like one of the big temptation. It can be pressure to feel depressed. Some of the greatest temptations I've ever fought has been and resisted has been to feel negatively. Beyond any kind of sexual pressure or you know what I mean by that, you know, just thinking inappropriate thoughts or think it this way or look at something inappropriate. It's been internal. It's been to think, to feel down and just, you know, why even bother? Why, it's not worth it. It's just think failure. What's all that? I didn't come up with that. I didn't. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to think failure thoughts today and just be disgusted with myself. It's temptation. Can you see it now? I realize I got to give you a little bit of a peek. Not a little bit. I got to be trained. I don't really know any other way to be other than just let you in and see what's going on and go first. You know what I mean? But it's not always just like, man, if I don't smoke a cigarette, I don't know what I'm going to do. that's a physical appetite. But it's not the only place the devil uses to apply pressure on you. I think personally, now I don't have any scripture for this, it's the internal ones that you can't see and that you don't know how to, that have become a habit, a reflex thought pattern. To be sad and depressed. You didn't come up with that on your own. It got pushed on you to where it becomes very, very normal to give. Remember what he said, to give way to it, to give it an opportunity, to open the door. I like what one translation says about the word yield, to give way. It means to give way to him. He applied pressure and you succumbed and gave in. But I couldn't help it. That's the other lie. That's the other lie. James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. What do you mean by that? Sir, I'm choosing you. I submit myself to you. Yes, sir, I'm on your side. I'm yours. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. No, you can help it because you can resist it. Now, let me tell you this. Let me flip this script around. Satan can't help it. He has to flee. Let me say it again a couple times so you get it. You can help it because you can resist it. Satan can't help it because he has to flee when you put up a fight. When I say put up a fight, I don't mean you're going to have to go mano-a-mano and, you know, throw hands with him. I mean like this. You push back. He's trying to apply pressure to you. No, I'm not moving. I choose him. I choose life. I'm sticking with him. I resist you. That's my choice. God's giving you and letting you know you have a choice in the outcome. How many things in our life have we thought like, well, you know, I just can't help it. I just, you know, it's just, why even bother? Just anytime I think about it, I just end up doing it, whether it's I think to get mad and I'm already mad, or I think to indulge in this craving or appetite and it just happens. And I just, that's a lie. Nothing can take your choice away from you. Nothing can take your God-given power to choose and respond away from you. You still have it. If you padded your believer's bat belt, you know, your utility belt, front and center, right next to the buckle, is a fresh, clean, big old pouch full of choice. And it's yours. You get what I mean by the analogy. You have the choice in how you respond and in the outcome of your destiny. When the devil applies pressure to you, you don't have to give up anymore. And it's that giving up, it's what you give into that opens the door for condemnation to mess with you. Isn't that crazy? I mean, think about what the devil does. He squeezes and applies pressure and brings thoughts to you that he came up with, that he brought, and then wants to condemn you over it. Look at this thought. Look what you just thought about. Look what you were just craving to do. How, oh, you're such a loser. You're such a, oh, you just feel so terrible about yourself. You're so disgusted with yourself. And you know how we've been all too often. Oh, yeah, I just stupid. We get mad at ourselves. We say negative things about ourselves. Listen, we are all, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, but without sin. If he was tempted and never sinned, that means temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. Like it says, like as we are. We're all subject to it. So make a big old note. Whatever you get, wherever you put your notes, whether it's in your Descartes app or you make it in a little post-it note in your Bible, whatever you want to do, just write it down. I am not sinning just because I'm tempted. I still have a choice. And I want you to hear this. Another big lie that tries to come along with temptation is that no one knows what you're going through. And the bigger one beyond that is that no one else has been through what you're going through. No, no. Jesus knows. I may not understand, but he does. No one, no human but him has ever resisted against sin and temptation to the point where we've had blood come through our pores and sweat great drops of blood because of the physical pressure they've been under to sin and break covenant with God. But he does. Listen, I don't need to be I don't need to be some sage scriptorian to be able to tell you this from the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. And in all the gospel accounts and in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, that our best friend, Jesus, has been tempted so far beyond anything that we could even imagine. But then it says this great thing. He is easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's also in Hebrews chapter 4. He is easily touched with the... And it's the ending verses in chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews and the ending verses in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. It says that he's easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? He is quick, of quick compassion. You know what easily touched is? When someone begins to tell you the story of what they're going through and your instinct is just to throw your arm around them and, you know, and just put your head to their head and say, listen, hey, man, I'm with you. I love you. I get it. It's not sympathy. It's compassion. He's easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And here's the other great part. Why would they go back to back like this? He's easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. How does that help us? Because he knows how to beat it. He knows how to beat it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, allow you to be tempted above what you're able to resist, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Not just escape out and you got to deal with it later. Oh, yeah, we're going to be faced with temptation later. I know it doesn't bless you, but it's part of living in life. But you can be tempted 10 times and resist it 10 times. When he means escape, he means he's going to kick a hole in kick a hole open in your mind and show you this is what you need to do to get out of this. This is what you need to do to turn. This is what you need to do to turn the tables on him and beat this thing. Now, let me redefine what temptation is to you. It is a pressure from darkness and the devil to yield, to give way to, and break covenant in some way. Satan can't just come up to you and smack you across the face and make you do what he wants. He has to apply pressure to you. He has to coerce you. He has to try to steer you by force into choosing something and make you think it's your choosing. And he has to use your free will against you. And it's to do this, to override and violate your conscience and cooperate with him. Look no further than the Garden of Eden. He applied pressure and coercion to Eve and then to Adam. To do what? To cooperate with him. Instead of cooperate with God. Man, I don't really want to say it like that, but whew, that's stout. Do you know what Satan's temptation is attempting to do? To force you to treat him like he's your best friend and not God. To do what he wants you to do. To do what he's telling you to do. But his gig is up. We say no. I'm choosing life in blood covenant with God, which means I'm sticking with him. I'm loyal to him. I'm choosing him. In fact, the book of James says this. Let me read this to you in the book of James, because we're going to have to go there anyway. As we said, it is not a sin to be tempted. But people have thought that it's God putting the temptation on them. Oh, yeah. You know, God won't put more on you than you can stand. He doesn't have the it to put on you. Look at this. Verse 12 of James chapter 1, to card a Bible at. Just go to James 1, look in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Your best friend has promised a reward for riding out temptation like a champion. by choosing him and going with him. But then he makes it clear. He said, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted that he's tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I tell you what, it should gall you. It should aggravate you no end. The very thought of God being blamed for Satan's temptation. He doesn't have any. He isn't tempted, and he isn't running around tempting anyone. Look who showed up to tempt Jesus. It wasn't his father. His father was the one helping him. It was Satan. And he's doing the same thing to you. And look at the areas that he used. Many different things. He used plans, hopes, dreams, physical appetites, lots of different stuff. Amen. So, he was in all points, Hebrews 4:15, tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let me read this to you from the Living Bible. This is Hebrews 4:15 again. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, since he had the same temptations we do, though he never once gave way to them and sinned. Oh, man. I want you to hear this. As a believer, in blood covenant with God, in best friends with him in the righteousness of God, Romans chapter 6, we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 10 here in a minute. Romans chapter 6, verse 22, it says this, but now, that's right now, being made free from sin, and become the servants of God, you have your fruit, your results, unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Everlasting life in blood covenant with God. Everlasting life like Jesus lives it. You have it right now. And it says that you've been made free from sin. So he's trying, Satan, is trying to pressure and tempt you with things that you're completely severed and disconnected from. Man, you hear believers, well, let me say this. You hear believers who are just uneducated. I'm not saying that as a judgmental slam. I mean, it's just there's no other way to say it. If you saw a young child look to take poison when there's a warning label on the bottle and it says, warning, don't take this, don't drink this, don't drink Pine Sol. The child's just uneducated, hasn't been trained. But you hear people who are Christians and have believed on Jesus, but they still call themselves sinful and this and that, and it's just, you know, I'm so angry with myself. What's going on? There is a lack of understanding that they've been made to have full covenant best friend status with God, and that they have the power of choice to push back against Satan and his temptation. You have that choice right now. You always have it, and it can't be taken from you. We need to clearly see the source of temptation. And we're getting ready to wrap it up for tonight, and we'll pick it up next week. Temptation doesn't come from your recreated human spirit that God's made a new creation in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:17. It comes from the accuser. It comes from the tempter. And sure, he uses James chapter 1 again. Let me read this to you real quick just to make sure I don't quote it wrong. I can quote a lot of scripture, but not all of them yet. I want to be accurate. Accuracy matters, right? He says this, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, meaning of his own cravings and appetites, connected, enticed. It's used against you. Listen, Satan knows you like to spend money by the bushel load. So he's going to make you think about spending money before anything else and make you break into a sweat at the thought of spending money. He knows you. Your body likes nicotine, some kind of, yeah. He knows it, and so he's going to make your mouth sweat at the thought of putting a dip in. But you know in your heart, man, I need to kick this habit. Hey, listen, if God's not dealing with you about smoking, don't worry about it. But man, if every time you put a dip in, take a drink, whatever it may be, you just feel so awful and you feel ashamed and guilty, hey, that's an open door. We're giving place to the enemy of our soul. We're giving place for him to accuse us, and it's time to shut the door on him. Amen. And listen, family. Man, I love you so much, and I can sense the heart of God that he doesn't want to see his best friends suffer because of these hidden areas that we rarely ever want to bring out in public and talk about. And look at standard operating procedure and how to deal with them. We want to hide it, and we want to keep it and pretend and sure, we're all okay. And yet, before we even get to the car, we're still angry at ourselves for whatever we did last night, whatever we did this morning, whatever we did on the way to church. We want to pretend and hide and cover up, and it just gets worse. It won't go away like that. It won't get fixed like that. But Jesus wants us to drag it out into the light and talk about it and just throw it down the middle of the floor and have a friendly conversation, a best friend chat, talking like best friends over the table and say, yeah, brother, here's what you do. And you're just going to do this differently and fix that and make a decision here and push back in this direction. He said he provides you a way of escape. He's going to coach you, get it? He's going to coach you on how to win over whatever's facing you. Whether it be depression in your mind, whether it be a physical craving or carnal appetite in your body, whether it be a feeling and a habit that you're used to just, man, it's second nature to you now, it seems like. There's victory for you. There's a way to win that Jesus wants to give you. We are trusting God to enforce our no. He is on your side. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this, that he has said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's waiting for you to say, no, I'm not doing that no more. Now, Father, help me. Show me my way of escape. And we're going to introduce this tonight, and then we're going to pick it up next week, okay? God cannot and will not do your resisting for you. But when temptation comes, whether it's temptation to be angry, carry a grudge, indulge in pornography, hard narcotics, whatever it may be, whatever the point of pressure is that's being applied to you, you do just like our elder brother and best friend did. Get out of my face, Satan. I resist you. No, I'm pushing back. That's a first decision. That's a quality decision. That's a line of departure you step over. No, I'm not tolerating you anymore. Like we said earlier, 10 times in the same day tempted, 10 times in the same day you resist it. Like we said, another word for resist is to push back. God will always back up our quality decisions with power. Amen. There is nothing pressuring us and tempting us that we cannot resist. I want you to hear it like this. A lot of people who we know and listen to us follow MMA and combat sports. There is nothing that is pressuring and tempting you that you can't resist. If it is in the ring, if it's in the octagon with you, you can beat it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's look at it again. God is faithful, who will not suffer, allow you to be tempted or pressured above what you're able. Able to what? Able to resist. If it's in the ring, you can beat it. If you couldn't beat it, it would not be there. Your best friend is checking it. He's not, remember, you know how the referee, he goes along the crown, goes under the thing, wants to make sure no one's got any foreign substances on him, no one's got anything going on, no checking for cuts. Hey, listen, your best friend's also the referee. He's not letting anything in that ring that's too much for you. But that should make a smile come to your face. Hey, wait a minute. If it's in the ring with me, Jesus can help me beat it. I can beat it. You don't have to lose anymore. You can win. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, now listen. Every temptation and every challenge, our time's drawing short, but hear this. God is faithful. He is your best friend. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. And he sure enough is never going to run from a problem with you either. There is nothing in your life that's making him so nervous that he cuts and runs on you. No, he's drawing close to you. He's closer than your next breath, and he's sticking with you. Something draws a gun on you, and you can hear God be right next to you. He's got his guns already loaded, and the safeties have come off. He's ready. He's ready to help you. Hallelujah. You don't have to yield and give way to what you've yielded to. You don't have to fall and mess up. Listen, the thoughts that go like, I just can't help it. It's no use. That's a lie. You don't have to be defeated one more day. Let me say this to you. It is a monumental boost to our mental health, knowing that something doesn't control you anymore. Let me say that again. It is an enormous, monumental boost to your mental health, knowing that something doesn't control you anymore. It's also helpful knowing from the scriptures, like we read in Romans chapter 6, that you're free from this, and you always have been. When you were made his in blood covenant, okay, we'll do that. You were made free from everything that ever controlled you of darkness and death and hell. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than anything in the world. Oh, yes. Greater is your best friend, the God with you, than any temptation that's around you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. I want you to hear this. Because, man, are we going to end on a high note? Or, man, we are going. And listen, we're going to pick up next week. This isn't it. This is just part one of freedom from sin. You just needed to hear, first of all, that you're free. And you don't have to take it anymore. And you can push back. And next week we'll look in the practical ways how to do that. Romans 8:37 says this, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. All what things? Everything that would show up in this natural life to try to pressure us, tempt us, overwhelm us. More than conquerors is a very King Jamesy way to say it. But I want you to hear it like this. We are more than conquerors. We are more than victors. We're even greater. Oh, hallelujah. We're even, yeah, I like that one, Lord. We're even greater than winners. Because he won the fight and gave us the trophy. Man, isn't that good? Listen, Jesus proved that we can, with his help, beat anything tempting and pressuring us. resist instead of yield. Now, we're going to end it here for this week. We're going to end it with one verse. I want you to, and this is going to be our teaser for next week. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And get ready. I have used this so many times with his help. Colossians chapter 1 and talking about God, our Father. Verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father who's made us meet or made us able to partake in the inheritance that he's given us. Verse 13, who? Talking about our Father, our best friend, our God and our source. Hath delivered us, who has, past tense, already rescued us from the power of darkness. All temptation, all pressure, all enticement is inside that word power of darkness. That's all of Satan's capabilities and resources. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Listen, we are severed, disconnected, helped, removed from any control of darkness. And we've been placed into, never to be found by darkness again, the kingdom where we get treated as the son of his love. The kingdom where we get treated like he treats Jesus. Amen. Did you enjoy this tonight, man? I'm so excited for you. Listen, next session, we're going to get into how to walk this out. And how to walk this out. Practical steps and ways to enjoy complete freedom over sin. Push back against temptation and take back the ground we've lost or let go of. And enjoy life and being best friends with God. Listen, you don't have to be controlled. That thing trying to control you is defeated. Amen. Hallelujah.